I am intrigued at the appeal of God's word tonight. And I hope it does the same for you. If you are there and you are as excited as I am, say amen. All right, here we go. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Father, we ask tonight that you bless this word for your glory. For God, we are here as your humble servant to give as you have blessed us to give. For God, we would not be here without your miracle of us standing here today. And I ask God, as your servant, that you give us your words and your anointing to bless this people with your word. None of us and all of you, God. And let us receive this in our heart and in our spiritual being, that it may make us a better person to be doers and not hearers only, God. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. And the church said, I have one footnote I want to put onto this. And you can go ahead and turn there if you want to. It's in the 19th chapter of Matthew. And we'll read verse 21 there in just a moment. But while I have this turned here, I'm going to read from a couple spots on here. Now, I know that the very basis of the gospel that some of us received came from this scripture, came from a scripture that was on down in this passage. It's the very foundation which we distribute unto others. And it's one of the easiest ways that we distribute the understanding of salvation. Can you say amen? Do you agree? It's one of the easiest ways to try to give someone that has no idea or understanding of Christianity the basic idea of what it means to receive it. But I want to go back a little bit into what Nicodemus was trying to discuss with the Son of Man. You see, he was having a literal discussion over what it meant to be born again. And while I'm not going to beat that horse to death, because I think everybody in this room understands what the scripture literally means when you read through this. And as I went through it myself, I began to ask God, Lord, what are you trying to show me out of this? So then I asked myself the same question. Lord, what do you really mean by me to be reborn? What do you really mean by me to be born again? Is it really just to tell people that I'm a Christian? Is it just to, you know, go to the local watering hole and, you know, have a dip in the water and tell everybody that, you know, I'm a different person now? See, I came tonight for, if no other reason, to tell you that there's a little bit more to it than that. You see, when you were brought forth into this world, you were conceived in love by two parties, right? And as we see in this scripture, it teaches us that to become what we were to be as born again of God, we were conceived of two parties. And I began to learn for a long time before I was truly inundated with His power and anointing. I used to say that I thought I knew what it truly meant to be born again, but I never understood what it meant to be born again. Now, some of you may feel like this is going to be a little controversial, and that's okay. But I'm going to dive a little deep on this to give you a little understanding of what I'm talking about. How can you enter back into something when you're old? Well, you can't. Now, if you've came from your past when you confess that you're saved, then that means when you are saved, you cannot go back to who you were. Right? So if we claim that we are a Christian, then we cannot go back to our past behavior. So if we ever behave like we used to, then it is not Christ-like. Amen? But what I find today is behavior that is not representing who we are now as new creatures, but the behavior of who we were as before we were ever born again. And you know what that is showing me? Is that people don't have a full grasp of what has been brought forth in their life. They don't have a full understanding of everything that was done for them to give them what they truly have. If they understood everything that was done for them, they would not take so for granted everything that has been done for them to appreciate all the good they have in their life. Let me tell you something today. I don't take it for granted that the Son of God bore the stripes on His back for me. I don't take for granted that He bore the cross and carried it up the hill for me. I don't take it for granted that He was spat upon and ridiculed for me. I don't take it for granted that He was mocked for me. I don't know if anybody else in here feels the same way that I do, but if you do feel that way, I wish you'd agree with me tonight. I don't take it for granted that He stood in my place when I deserved the punishment, but I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm glad that He stood in my place, and I'm glad that He stood in my place so that I don't have to bear my sin. Whew. You see, that was part of my conception. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. It's part of what made me. Part of what conceived me was the suffering of Christ. But there's another part of it, right? There's a spiritual thing to this too. When I received of God, there was a spiritual part of me that came along. An awakening of something I never knew that lived in me. And it was a teacher I never knew I had that taught me to become a person I never knew I could be. And it taught me to speak a language I never thought I could speak, to behave in a way I never thought I could behave, to dress in a way I never thought I could dress, to live a life I never thought I could live, to be educated in a way I never thought I could be educated. No, brother, you're talking about a personal change. No, brothers and sisters, I'm talking about a spiritual change. These things were done to me in my life after I had already made up my mind about how I was going to live my life. And then the Son of God came and transformed who I was. I had already lost everything, and He came and changed my life for the better in the spiritual things, got me off the ground and caused me to change how I talk, caused me to change how I look, and caused me to be transformed into something new, where you see something different, hear something different, and you see the difference in my life. Years went by from infancy, from when it first happened. I'm no longer a child of God. Don't call me a baby. Don't give me the milk no more, my friend. I've grown up. You may be still sipping on the milk, but I've had to get some thick skin in these last days. If you still get easily offended, if you still are short-fused, if you still let people get you down over being jealous about you, if you still let people say one thing and it runs you out of the church house, honey, you've got some praying to do. You've got some work to do. You've got some things to do. It's time to realize there's some growing up to do. It's not just one thing to know that you are born again, but it's another thing to start growing up from the point of knowing that you have been received of God and have something worth growing up on. If Jesus overcame your sin, then you have power over sin. And if Jesus had enough thick skin to not open His mouth, oh, you know where we're going. If Jesus didn't open up His mouth, guess what? You don't have to either. But it's my right, bro. No, that's what people tell you. Come on. Here's what I'm telling you. If you read Matthew 19:21, it talks about the rich man being told to sell what he has, okay? Now, what I'm trying to tell you is being born again is not just a statement. It's a state of mind, all right? It's not just a declaration. It's a living. It's a lifestyle. You not only say you're born again today, you start living like you're born again tomorrow. You don't only sell all that you have today, you live your life like you sold everything yesterday, tomorrow. If you're sold out tomorrow, there's nothing to go back to in yesterday. We have too many people that we have taught ill-advisedly that think they have a life to go back to because they have not been taught so well, because we teach them by how we live our life. We don't let go of our attitude. We don't let go of our feelings, and we want them to live their life in righteousness, but we won't let go of how we feel. But we want them to see how that we do things, but we want them to be perfect. But you got to know, in order for them to live by the model, you've got to be the model, and you've got to follow the model for somebody to follow after you. To be born again is to be a babe in Christ. You are conceived. Do you see what you're conceived by? You're conceived by the sacrifice of Christ and the Spirit of God. Those two things done by love is what brought you forth as a Christian, a new creature. Old things, or who you used to be before that conception, are passed away. That which comes in you, that which was brought forth in you, when it comes out of you, is what? Your sin, the afterbirth. The sin of you is no longer a part of you. Old things are passed away. You don't keep it with you. So think about that. Being born again is not just talking about the gospel. It's not just a declaration. It's not just a label. It's your life. It's your lifestyle. It's the mold which you live by. Now, this is going to hit you however well that you live it, okay? People will follow you as well as you follow it. And if they are not drawn to be with you, if they're not drawn to hear your opinion, if they're not drawn to ask you to pray for them, if they're not drawn to seek your advice, if they're not looking for your embrace, if they don't feel to look for your love, if they're not looking to find something from you that is showing refuge or safety or love or something that is of a godly refuge or quality, then we are not following the model that we were given, what caused us to be saved in the first place. We cannot take from one hand and bite the other. We have spent too long wanting to be the spoiled children of God and not letting anyone else play in the sandbox. And it's time that we remember that before we were ever in the pew, we were the problem. Oh, hallelujah. Before we were ever the saved, we were the sinner. Before we were ever the sanctified, we were the severely broken. Oh, I feel him all over me tonight. You better remember where you come from so that you'll remember where to go to find those that need help. There are people out there today that don't want to sell out all they have. And they're tired of people telling them to sell out when we don't sell out. We don't. And I'm not even, okay, don't get offended. I'll just talk about me. We don't. We get too busy. We have our own ideals. We have a limit. Can I just say it like that? We have our own limit on what we feel like is enough for God. Chew on that for a minute. We have our own preconceived ideal of what is enough for God. And when we hit the quota, we're done. No wonder we don't want to come in here and do anything. We already hit the quota before we got here. I already read my devotional. I already listened to my sermon for the week. Since I don't need to do it. I'm good. If we read about the Levitical priesthood, they put us to shame. Can I be real about it? They blow the trumpets and everybody in the room would fall down to their face, and then they'd blow it again and everybody fall down to their face, and they'd read out of the word of God and everybody would recognize the word. So I let you off the hook pretty good, to be honest with you. Now I know it sounds kind of hard tonight, but to be honest, when I was praying about this, it came down pretty hard to me. You know, I fear that in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, that we'll be just like the rest of other people that say, "Lord, Lord." That'll think they're looking in the right direction, but may not be prepared. Let me tell you something. I love this people. I do. I love you dearly. And I love this church. And I love this building. And I love our songs. And I love the history of this place. And I've been here for a long time. And everybody that's been here and came here and left here, they feel like family to me. I've been invested for a long time. But let me tell you something. Above history, above people, above everything else that you know, if there's one thing that isn't first, is knowing who you are in God and being able to know that you're born again, spirit-filled, sanctified, and ready to go, then you have lost yourself in tradition, in people, in history, in all the things that will not keep you when the rapture calls for you. I'm trying, Doris. You know I love you. Let me read a couple other parts. Is that okay? Did I read that in Matthew? I hadn't, had I? Let me read that real quick. I don't know where some of that came from. Matthew 19 and 21. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Think about that. What is rich, anyway? It's having a lot of something. Right? Having a lot of something. What are some things you can think about that we have a lot of? We have a lot of pride. Are you not going to amen that? It's okay. I'll go get myself one in a minute. We've got a lot of pride. We've got a lot of complacency. When we're asked to sell all that we have, we don't want to give that up. Well, brother, I've been in the church for years. That's what I want. I mean, I can start telling a story. Now, can I tell a little bit about my own story here? I've been in the church for 10 years now. Been preaching 10 years. That sounds funny, don't it? 10 years. Every time I get, if they dropped a hat, I'd start preaching. 10 years. Why, I ought to be able to just come in and the power of God just fall into place. You know what that is? That's pride. That's pride. Let me tell you. We don't come in with the intent of thinking that or saying that. But if somebody looks at us the wrong way or we get kind of nervous, we start going to the things which we have. And sometimes what we feel like we have is what we know. And sometimes what we feel like we know is, well, I've been going here forever. They ought not treat me that way. Or, I've been tithing to this church for years. They ought not treat me that way. I've been coming to Sunday school. They ought not treat me that way. Well, it's getting real in here now. That's all right. I feel it. I brought my armor. You think I came unprepared? It's all right. Get to the point, brother. I am. I just want you to think about it. It's the things we have a lot of that are the things we always have the hardest time getting rid of. If we have more pride than praise, you'll never feel like praising Him. If you have more tendencies to disobey than to obey, if you never are working all week long to pray against your tendencies to disobey, then when you come in here, you'll never feel like obeying Him. I'm telling you, you've got to pray against that spirit that works against you during the week so that when you come in here, you will feel willing to get up and serve God. It will not just leave you. It is something you must work on. I'm telling you from experience, I'm telling you, it's something you got to do. It doesn't just leave you. And let me tell you something else. You can't wait as a Christian and a, what I'll call a regular, to come on Sundays only to repent. Lord, honey, we can't be the ones that repent the most on Sunday. We're here to help people. Woo! Aren't we? So what does that say? If we're the only ones repenting on Sunday, we're not praying in the week. Come on. And I get it. I mean, there's some problems that we need help with. That's one thing. But what I'm talking about is the stuff, the little petty white lies, little sins, the little things. You could have simply said, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm a fool, I'm stupid, I made a mistake, I can't believe I did that, please forgive me, I'm going to learn from this, I need to do better, I don't want this to hinder me, I want to be able to come in and serve you with a whole heart, I want to do the best that I can. Those things we need to be able to get rid of, or otherwise, when we come in the door here, you'll feel so weighted down that you'll never be able to get two bits of strength in your feet to get up and do anything other than to say, well, we'll see you later. It was a kind of hard tonight. I can't believe he took so long to preach. Good Lord, it was longer than ever. I never thought he was ever going to be done. Pride will defend itself. Yeah, it will. Sure will. It'll defend itself. It'll fight till the death. Your pride will defend disobedience over someone who tries. Did you know that? I could preach about you trying to obey God more, and you'll get mad at me for trying to obey and say, well, who's he to tell me to obey God, him up there trying to preach? That's absurd. Is it getting real yet? I don't know how else to put this. I'm coming to closing remarks right now, and here it is. Being born again is not just a statement about your salvation. Being born again is declaring the beginning of a new life for yourself. Being born again is declaring the beginning of your infancy of a new life. It's saying, I'm stepping into a new chapter where I'm putting away the sin that I'm walking away from as a result of my salvation. That means the things that I am saved from, I'm now living a new life away from it, and I'm living in this phase of my life to be born again from it. Right? So then you have a phase of your life where you're on the milk. Grace will help you immensely through that time. The falls will be softer then. They will. You'll be forgiven and feel so much more closure then. You will. But there's got to come a time, guys. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to leave this out. This is too good to leave out right now. There's got to come a time where you draw the line, where you finally cross over from the milk to the meat, and you finally say, I'm ready to grow up out of elementary things, to put away childish things, and step into the more grown-up concepts. Because let me tell you, you'll never cast out demons on the milk. Let me be even more frank. We'll never get people drawn in with the just aura and convicting power of the Spirit of God to draw them to this building just being people on the milk. People won't even feel led as they drive by to pull in if we're just on the milk. If we're quarrying against one another, they won't feel compelled to pull in on the milk. Do you hear what I'm telling you tonight? We have got to resolve our differences, draw the line in our life, and say, I'm ready to step in to getting a little more thick skin and saying, God, I'm going to let you help me to handle the rest of these things so that we can make a difference. There are some people that's been surprised with me. Had a few phone calls or emails or conversations where people will tell me, now I just want to make sure you're not mad. And I tell them, you don't have to worry about me. I got thicker skin than that. But it's nothing on me that I can brag about. You know what it is? It's the armor of God. I feel that all over me. When you think that it's only you, if you dig in and trust God, there'll be an extra layer of protection on you where it won't even hit you. Oh, hallelujah. And you'll have the enemy apologizing to you, and you'll have to say, it's okay, I didn't even feel it. Hey, I feel that. That's the kind of walk God wants us to have. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, that your enemies shall be at peace with you. Let me tell you, some of you may be getting there. And I like this right here. It's a nice illustration. You may be getting to that line where you've been hitting that milk for a while, but you're ready to hit the meat, and maybe you're afraid. Maybe you're taking that deep breath, and you're like, okay, here it is. Am I ready? Well, the answer is, you've been ready for a long time. Look over at your neighbor and tell them, you've been ready for this for a while. You know you've been ready for it since you declared your salvation? From the very moment that you were conceived, you were born for greatness. From the very moment you were started, initiated, begun, Alpha, Omega, beginning in. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. So here's my conclusion. If he was with you when you said you were born again in the beginning, he's going to be the same God as we step into the harder things in our life. And if we're going to keep people to believe in themselves when it gets harder, then we've got to take that next step out of the season of grace and step into the season of persecution. Because until we learn to live in persecution and rejoice in tribulation, then people will never be drawn by conviction by the lives we lead. People were not drawn by anything but the miracles in that day, by people's persecution and the things that were endured. They came by the thousands by people's sufferings. They came by the thousands by just hearing word of greatness. Did they come when they heard people complain? No, of course not. Do you not think that if they hear us only complain all the time, they're ever going to come? No. No. What denomination are you, brother? Oh, I'm complaint. I'm complaint, Cleveland version. You can be whatever version of it you want. It's still bad. And that's my honest assertion of the situation. We've all got a little bit bitter of all of our situations. Okay? You can be real silent on this, or you can say amen and be real with me. We've all got a lot going on. Okay? And it's hard. And we're all frustrated. And truth be known, we may not have had our hearts in the right place to keep our brothers and sisters that aren't here, here. You can be quiet if you want. It is what it is. Each and every one of us are each other's responsibility. We've got to do a better job at being the hands and feet of each other. We have to. We're not only responsible for the lost, we're responsible for each other. So what can we do to make a difference? If you know of somebody that you can help that's hurt or hurting or broken, that is a part of us, reach out to them. Speak to them. Tell them you love them. Let them know they matter. And let's start putting back together broken pieces so that we can start making a difference the right way. Because if we don't, then all that we have is the right hand not knowing what the left hand's doing. You got one hand taking the cookie and then got the other hand slapping another hand for taking it. And you just can't have good church that way. To be very plain about that. And this is, I'm not as experienced as a lot of you, but I've been in enough to know it now, that we got to have unity to sustain anointing. Can you agree with that? Got to have that. So anyway, I hope that the beginning part of that, you know, was a nice teaching point. To remember that born again is not just saying you're saved. Born again is the starting point of where you start projecting your life. But if you've never took it any further from that first day and you're still living and going back to who you used to be before that, you need to redraw the line and say, God, I'm ready to be somebody different. He said he'd do a new thing in you, right? You got to let him do a new thing in you. Let me tell you, it's no fantasy. I'm telling you, he changed the way I speak. If you heard the way I used to speak, you would be in shock of the difference. To be honest with you, I wasn't even a great public speaker. I was an introvert. Or in other words, the guy that stood in the corner that never said anything to anybody and never spoke at all, ever. If you can believe that. That's the miracle of God. That's what he can do. He took me from someone that didn't really believe in his education to letting me finish my college degree. And now I'm one of the leaders in my field. I'm good at what I do, and I'm proud of that.
Is it me?
No, it's God. He took what I didn't see in me and made it great. He took my lack of vision in my life and made it something great. How? When I drew the line and walked away from my sin. That's all I had to do. And from the moment I started going forward in His will, everything worked for my good. Listen, you can live a life and be unsaved and still have some good things. But you can live a life and be saved and it be a life far greater than you ever know. So if you don't have salvation, you need it, man, because it's so much greater with it than without. And ultimately, without it, you're going to have hell as your home. And I wouldn't recommend that to anyone. And it's not hard to get it. Just believe the Son of God died for you and confess your sins and ask for forgiveness. That's all it is. Right? Have I got you thinking? If I made you mad, you going to talk about me later? If any of the above's happened, at least I've done my job. Look over at your neighbor and say, that was rough, but at least it's over.